While the economy around the country has improved in recent years, that's not the case for some rural parts of Maine, like Oxford County. More than a quarter of the children in that county live in poverty, and many families struggle with basic needs like food, housing, and transportation. Robbie Feinberg brings us the story of how a rural school is stepping in to help some of those families by going from the classroom to the living room.
For close to a year, Brittany Manzo struggled to find an affordable apartment in Norway, Maine. She's got five kids, so it wasn't easy. Manzo poured through listings, filled out applications, but she says there were few affordable rentals. And so the family found itself living in a small hotel room for months at a time.
The whole time I just tried to keep things as normal as possible. It was tough. I don't wish it upon anybody.
Manzo says much of her income went to paying for the room, making it nearly impossible to afford the upfront costs and security deposit of a long-term rental. She also watched how living in a hotel room affected her kids. Dinner would take hours cooked on tiny appliances. And crying babies in small quarters led to arguments and sleepless nights.
None of us were getting along. It was horrible. You know, we just needed to be in a house or an apartment, something bigger than one room.
While the situation was hard, it's not unusual for many families in Oxford County or in Maine. Despite a local unemployment rate below 4%, many families here still struggle to make ends meet.
We were seeing it impacting our schools.
And Oxford Hills School District Superintendent Rick Kolpitz says those kinds of issues outside of school make a big difference in the classroom.
Kids were coming in on Monday without really having a lot to eat over the weekend, which meant that it was a hard day. You had kids that were coming in that were not adequately clothed, and it was because they didn't have a resource or know where the resource was to access clothing. And so we saw families having to make choices.
Oxford Hills has tried to ease these burdens by creating school food banks and partnering with social service agencies. In the past, that work often ended at the school's walls. But this year, the district is trying a new approach to help families get the services they need outside of the classroom.
How are you?
Early on a recent weekday morning, Whitney Marston leaves the school's grounds and pulls into a small driveway a few streets away. She's here to talk with Brittany Manzo, the mother of five who was forced to live in a hotel room. The two embrace, then Manzo opens the door for Marston to come inside.
Sorry, we had a wicked late morning this morning.
You are fine.
Marston is what's known at the school as a family service advocate. Typically, she'll spend a few hours with kids, then meet with parents like Brittany Manzo. And she does it here, at their home. Her goal is to find out what they need. It could be heating, housing, transportation, or something else. Combined, these issues can be overwhelming.
There's just tons of different barriers, every obstacle you could think of. So really trying to sit down with them and figure out what we can do to make this easier for you.
It was while she was living in the hotel room that Manzo says she found a letter in her daughter's backpack with a note from Marston introducing herself. At first, Manzo was unsure about letting a stranger help her.
It's because you're like, oh no, okay, so not only do I have to admit that I'm in a hotel, but that I have five children, and I've been in there a year. So, yeah, I didn't want people to, you know, think down on me, or that was what was hard about it.
But she did make the call. She and Marston met and talked and filled out housing applications. And after a few months, she found an affordable house on her own, only a few blocks from her daughter's school.
And this is the bathroom. This floor, actually.
Manzo takes me on a short tour of her new home, showing off the new appliances, the tiles she's redone in the bathroom, and all the furniture that Marston had arranged to be delivered on the first day she moved in.
Three bed sets for the kids, coffee pot, microwave, just dishes. I mean, everything, really, to get you what you would need to get started. I mean, it really, yeah. It was awesome.
This kind of home visit program isn't new. It's been used by Head Start preschool programs for decades. And in recent years, cities like New York and Washington, D.C. have launched their own models after seeing the improvements on student attendance and achievement. Despite those results, there is still resistance to programs like these. Carol Guestwicky, who authored a book on family-school relations, says some families may perceive them as judgmental. Earlier this year, some lawmakers in Utah even opposed a teacher home visit program because of worries over government intrusion.
What are they going to do, come poke their nose in our business? And I don't want somebody seeing what old living room furniture I have and, you know, all those kinds of things.
That's why GuestWiki recommends training staff and keeping visits informal.
A lot of parents have had other kinds of professionals come into their home, and usually it's not good news.
At Oxford Hills, the home visit program is one of the first in the state that's gone beyond preschool and into elementary school. But it's still small. Only two staff members work with families across two elementary schools. And the future of the program is also uncertain. It's funded by a grant that will expire next year. But district officials say they're looking for ways to keep it going, given the difference it can make for some families. Brittany Manzo says her children are already happier.
Oh, so much of a bigger change in them. I mean, oh, that brings me in tears because it's so, it was hard.
As she stands in her own living room, looking at her children's artwork on the walls, Manzo says she finally feels happy too. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And you're listening to Maine Public Radio. This story is part of the Rural Maine Reporting Project, our new initiative to cover underreported issues from around the state. You can find more information at mainepublic.org/ruralreporting.